when God sent the prophet Jonah to Nineveh to warn them of judgment, that the king and the people repented. Is this our Nineveh moment? Could we be facing judgment? Could we see revival? Could we see both? What does this mean?
Troy Anderson, it's great to have you here to talk more about this eclipse that's coming on April the 8th, which is a big deal because we've had a lot of eclipses. This is our third one in a period of a very short period of time that is affecting the United States. Now, there's eclipses that happen all over the world, but the United States is something that's where we are. Jesus tells us in Luke 21, when it talks about the end times, that there will be signs in the sky, in the sun, the moon, and the stars. So, Troy, what made you interested in these eclipses, and especially this one that's coming up on April the 8th?
With the book I have with Pastor Paul Begley, Revelation 9-11, we've been working on that for a couple of years. And as I was, you know, doing the research for that and doing interviews and that kind of thing, I heard about this eclipse coming up. And I remembered there was this other one that, you know, had a lot of news coverage back in 2017. So I began to dig into it then, you know, what's happening here? Could this have some kind of prophetic significance? You know, like you mentioned, you know, Jesus told us to watch for, you know, signs in the sun, moon, and stars. And, you know, that there's that verse in Psalms, the heavens declare the glory of God. And in Genesis, you know, talks about the stars are for signs and seasons. And so, you know, could there be some kind of prophetic significance to these three eclipses that we've seen in the last 7 years?
How often do eclipses happen?
Yeah. I mean, eclipses actually happen fairly often, and usually over the ocean. So that what's unusual about these is you had the one over land that moved across the country in 2017, and you know, it moved through all these cities called Salem, and then you had this one in October, and then now you have this one coming up on April 8th that goes through all these cities called Nineveh, and there's one city called Jonah. And so, is this just a coincidence? Or, is God, you know, sending some kind of message here?
Tell me about these cities that, the one in 2017, this eclipse passed over these seven cities of Salem. Where are these cities? What states are these in? And how are you verifying this? And how are you, like, because I'm hearing this a lot of different places, but sometimes it's a little bit hard for us to know, like, where do we find this information to?
2017, you know, I grew up in Oregon. So it first moved roughly past Salem, Oregon, went across the country and ended up in sort of the Salem, Massachusetts area. It's not exact, but there's, you know, it turns out there's a number of cities and towns called Salem throughout the country, or Jerusalem in the original Hebrew. And so if you just sort of look at the path of the eclipse on a map and then see all these Salems, that's sort of how you know, it's not exactly, you know, in the totality, but in sort of the general ballpark kind of area.
These cities are representative of the peace. Okay, so Salem is the city of peace. Jerusalem is a city of peace, even though we're not often seeing it that way currently, but that's what it's supposed to be. And so now the path of this next one goes over seven cities called Nineveh. Tell me more about this.
Yeah, so there's this eclipse coming up on April 8th. You know, it's roughly like 125 mile wide. Will be sort of the general area. The totality moves from comes up, you know, from South America, goes through Texas. It'll run through like sort of the Dallas area, San Antonio, and then sort of does a diagonal up through the country. And just as it turns out, there are three Ninevehs that are in the path of the totality, or the sort of this 125 mile range, and there's some outside of it. You know, so there could be ones that are like 200 miles outside of it. So it's not an exact thing, but there's three that are sort of in there. And then there's a sort of seven in that general ballpark kind of area. And then there's also this one town named Jonah. And so, you know, it's interesting. Two eclipses are going through this biblical namesakes kind of towns.
So these ones that are not in the direct line, but from those places, you still should be able to see the eclipse. Is that correct?
Yeah, you might be able to see, you know, a part of the eclipse. You know, you won't see that dramatic, you know, ethereal, you know, twilight kind of light that when you actually see an eclipse. But you'll be able to see, you know, part of it off to the side kind of thing.
Okay, so it's not like a specific, like, this is an absolute straight line, but there's a little bit of a wide berth there. It might not see the full effect, but they will still see that. And so, okay, so this is helping me understand this information that's been getting out there. And I know that where these two eclipses are actually kind of crossing, there's some significance about that as well.
Yeah, so this is the interesting thing. When you compare the 2017 eclipse to the 2024, it essentially forms this gigantic X in sort of the heart of America. It's in roughly Carbondale, Illinois area. And that area is also known as Little Egypt. There's a university there. Their mascot is the Suki dog. There was a dog of the pharaohs. The people say that some of the old Indian mounds resemble pyramids. There's a town called Cairo. There's different towns called that. There was a famine there in the mid-1800s. And so the area is sort of been nicknamed Little Egypt. And so there's also this Egyptian, you know, symbolism at this X. And you know, what does the X mean something?
So as you're studying this and you've done interviews with people and you pulled out even a quote from Billy Graham, who obviously has gone on to be with the Lord, but there's some really big prophetic significance to these things. Tell us about your understanding of this.
Well, yeah. So I did an interview with Billy Graham back in 2013 for a 7-part WorldNet Daily series on end times and possibility revival. And one thing that Billy Graham said that really stuck with me is he said that when God sent the prophet Jonah to Nineveh to warn them of judgment, that the king and the people repented. And he said he believed the same thing could happen again, this time in America. And actually, I was so inspired by that interview. And he told me that, you know, America needs to repent, essentially. And I later learned that he had asked every president from Eisenhower to George W. Bush to call for a national day of repentance, and none of them did. Mm. And so in our second book, Trumpocalypse, I became friends with Reverend Kevin Jessup when I was at Charisma. And he told me he felt led to lead a national repentance movement. And he's a descendant of Pilgrim's father's pastor, John Robinson, actually sent the Pilgrims to America aboard the Mayflower. And so we featured an interview with him in the last chapter of Trumpocalypse. We called for a national day of repentance. And then he ran with it, networked with like sort of who's who, major faith leader, business leaders. He persuaded Rabbi Kahn to be the spokesman. And then the event actually happened. It was called the Return National and Global Day of Prayer and Repentance, September 26, 2020. On the National Mall, 250,000 people showed up, like 40 million people watched it. You know, it was the first National Day of Repentance since Abraham Lincoln. President Trump issued a proclamation for a day of prayer and return. So we had that big event. And so now, you know, a few years later, now we have this sign, you know, this X in the middle of America, the cliffs going through these towns called Nineveh. So, you know, could this be what Billy Graham foresaw? Is this our Nineveh moment? Is it, you know, could we be facing judgment? Could we see revival? Could we see both? What does this mean?
You know, in this article, you also talk about Mark Biltz, or Pastor Mark Biltz, who is a noted person as an expert for the blood moons, that the 4 blood moons that were happening several years ago as well. And I remember having the opportunity to talk with him about that and hearing him say, like, this is really God's wake-up call to us. Like, he is putting these signs in the heavens. With the blood moons, with the eclipses, with these signs in the skies, how are we supposed to respond? Obviously, you just mentioned about repentance and returning and revival, but what are we supposed to do?
I mean, just coincidentally or by providence, you know, so our book, Revelation 9/11, is coming out March 26 with Pastor Paul Begley. He's got a syndicated TV show called The Coming Apocalypse and a big YouTube channel of about 250 million views. And then my other co-author, Colonel David Giamona, he's a retired U.S. Army chaplain. We have a book called Your Mission and God's Army coming out April 16th. And so they're both, it wasn't planned. I ran late in writing these books. And so they actually bumped up the dates. So they're coming out right amid this eclipse. And so what does this mean? I think what it is that God is calling us not only just to repent and really turn away from our sins as a nation and as a church, but to join the army, join the effort to, you know, take action, to do everything Jesus told us to do, spread the gospel, you know, help your family and neighbors, you know, read the Bible, draw close to the Lord, draw close to the Holy Spirit. You know, if we truly are moving into these end time events, and from all the research I've done for a dozen years, it appears that we may very well be, that the key is going to be drawing close to the Lord, walking in the supernatural power and protection of the Holy Spirit. And then serving in God's army, you know, we need to be bold and courageous and spread the gospel. There's very few people that spread the gospel today in among Christians. And, but, you know, Why did God put us here at this this incredible time in history? We had this amazing opportunity to serve in the Lord's army. And I think that's the message that he wants to communicate to us, is that we could have this great revival if the church would activate.